Hello, I'm Robert McClay. I've been working at TAC for over 12 years in HPC. It's good to be here, virtually. I'd like to thank Kenneth and the other organizers to put this thing together. I am sure that it's more work than I realize. So today, I'd like to talk about my Exalt project and what it's been like to attach to just about every program under Linux. So, first, I'd like to thank my work colleague Matt for the design of the Exalt logo. Big Brother is watching. Work started on Exalt in 2013 as an Exalt as a NSF project. Today, I'm going to talk about what Exalt is and how it works, and why Exalt is of interest in the HPC community. Then I'll get into the main part of my talk where I describe the surprises that have happened. They have occurred in three main areas: name collision, memory allocation, and container issues. Finally, I'll end up where you can get more information about Exalt. So I work at a supercomputer center. And working there means we want to provide good service to our users. It means that we want to know what programs and libraries they run so we can know what software to support or not. We also use the top programs to benchmark our next system. We all know from accounting records what our top users are, but not what programs they use. With Exalt, we do. We'd like to know lots of things about the program, but I want to stress that Exalt is a census taker, not a performance tool. And I'm interested in science, so I'm interested in really longer runs. The way Exalt works is it's going to produce JSON records and then be stored in a database for later analysis. And it's used all over the world. What we're trying to do is understand what our users are doing. So we want to know what programs and libraries you use. We want to know what imports from R, MATLAB, or Python you're using so we can track each one of those major packages. We want to know what the top programs are by several different measures: core hours, i.e., number of processors by how much time, or just by how often it runs, or by the number of users. We want to know whether the program executable was built by the system, namely by us, or it was user built, or it was built by one user and used by another. We can do that all with Exalt. We want to know whether the program was written in C, C++, or Fortran. And by that, I mean what main is written in, or more importantly, what the linking program was used. We can track the number of MPI tasks. We can do threading. We can even find out what functions are used by the executable. So we can know what MPI functions there are, what BLAS functions there are. And as I'll point out, I need Exalt to be as efficient as possible. So we want it to be as lightweight as possible. So when it's doing a recording, it still takes less than 1/100 of a second. And when it's not recording, it's amazingly fast. So I have Exalt documentation at Read the Docs. And through that, I've been able to connect it to Google Analytics. And in this slide, I've shown which cities have read at least part of the documentation. The larger the circle means the greater number of times the documentation has been read. I really don't know where Exalt has been used, but I do know where it's read. I do have some clues when people submit bug reports, but there are a lot more people reading the documentation than I've ever seen on the mailing list. So you can see that Exalt is the documentation has been read all through the United States, through Latin America, through South America, all over Europe and Russia, in India, China, some in Africa, some in Australia and New Zealand. So I could say fairly safely that Exalt is used all over the world. Now, one of the interesting things is, while the good news is Exalt can track every program, the bad news is that Exalt tracks every program. I cannot record every user program. There's just too much data. Now, Exalt has a filtering mechanism to avoid lots of programs. So it doesn't track BinLS, it doesn't track Bash, it doesn't track lots of things, but still, even every user program is just too much data. On our 132 node computer, a single 2 hour job had over 2 million executions, and that generated so much data that it took my VM, which contains the Baydays database, close to 5 days to read the data. This forced me to implement serial, that is non-MPI programs, to be sampled. These are the rules we use. And what I mean by sampled is there's a random number generator and it says you have some probability of being recorded. And it's just completely random. Each choice is random. So for short time programs, i.e. programs that live for a short time, they're only recorded 1 in 10,000 chance. For medium time programs, there's only a 1 in 100 chance. And for long time programs, it's every one of them. So that's how I cut down on the amount of data I'm getting. So I don't get, the database does not get overwhelmed. So how does Exalt work? Here I'm showing a simple Hello World program written in C. This is followed by Exalt.c, which I will build into a shared library on the next slide. There's nothing special about the routine names myinit or myfini. It is the attribute lines that register one routine into the init array and another into the fini array. The init array and the fini array are a special part of the ELF binary format, which is what Linux uses to build its binary executables. Any routines assigned there will be run before main or after main. This ELF trick works with programs written in any language, C, C++, or Fortran. And I believe these are there to support C++, where C++ has constructors that can run before main and destructors that run after main. So this is how that gets implemented. And these attribute lines are available in GCC. I'm not sure where else, but that's all I need. So let's show how this works. The beginning Hello World, I'm building the Hello World program and it runs at expense as expected. The interesting part is after building the shared library, lib exalt.so, and setting the LD preload variable, we have modified the behavior of our Hello World program. This is without consulting or in any way modifying the source or the executable of the Hello World program. Note that this doesn't work with statically linked programs. However, it's pretty difficult these days to build a statically linked program anymore. There aren't many distributions that include a libc.a. So, Exalt is now linking with every program. And it's kind of like being a developer on every program that runs under Linux. Exalt shares the same namespace as the user program. Exalt shares memory allocation. There's just one malloc. Exalt shares this the environment space. And with containers, Exalt can't depend on system libraries. So sometimes I fix broken programs. So let's get to the first place where Exalt ran into a collision with our universe. So I have to do something to have avoid namespace collision. I use macros to obfuscate my normal routine names to avoid collision with user routine names. So, for example, my init gets renamed to double underscore exalt underscore init. However, I can't protect system routines. A user code had their own random routine, which was linked in and used rather than the libc one. The calling sequences for their random routine was completely different than the system one. And so the user program aborted even before main was called. This was my first user exalt collision. And I've had all kinds of issues with libuuid. So what is libuuid? Libuuid is the program used or is a library that will generate a universally unique identifier. That's what the UUID stands for. And I use that to tag every executable that runs and also every build that runs in a different scheme. But I still need these values. So Exalt uses dlopen and dlsim to dynamically link with libuuid. Sorry, libuuid. And I'll get to more on this when we get to containers. So, memory allocation issues. Exalt runs before main start in what I call my init, and it allocates memories. And for MPI programs, for some MPI programs, it generates a start record. Exalt saves environment variables in the program user space in my init. Then, after main completes, if it does complete, then in my fini, and this is where I allocate memory as well. And this is where it generates end records for all programs. That is the JSON record that I'm going to store in the database. And I want to make system calls from my fini. This slide also is a foreshadowing of problems to come. Each of the 4 points will become an issue. So here's my second collision. A user code created a linked list. Their program failed to initialize the end of the linked list with a null. But Linux very kindly zeros all memory before the program starts. So the user code automatically got the null terminated. However, Exalt allocates and frees memory before main is ever run. So the user code ran fine without Exalt, but fails with Exalt. So here's where I became the developer or joined the development on this code. I had to go in and figure out why it was doing this and notice that they weren't initializing the linked list. However, this is not a scalable solution. So what Exalt does is if any memory is allocated and freed, it's zeroed before it's returned. This should avoid this problem with user code. My third collision was memory. Exalt is sharing memory allocation with user code. And it's shocking to find out that all programs don't allocate and free memory correctly. And Exalt would sometimes fail when freeing memory after main in the myfini routine. The result is that Exalt allocates but doesn't free after main is called. This seems to work. It's freeing that tends to be more dangerous, or at least that's been my experience. So here's my fourth collision. So some programs do questionable things. The questionable comment was how this bug was reported to me. A user out in the world sent me a snippet of where the code, so where some user, some shared package lived, and sent me this block or sent me a block, which I have reduced to show the basic intent of what they were trying to do. What happens is this code in main is going to try and copy the environment. And the SPT copy env routine takes the old environment, clears it, and then walks over it and reinitializes it. Now, this is not good. And I still don't know why somebody would want to do this, but this is what they did. And this code works without exalt. It's the first thing that is running their program. It works if no setenv is called before the SPT copyenv routine is called. Still, it frees memory and then walks the free memory. However, exalt sets environment variables in myInit so that this segfaults with exalt. So I had several iterations with the developers. I had to explain that exalt runs before main, so they're guaranteed that no setenv was called was no longer true. So they, after several iterations, they were able to do a shallow copy of the environment and rebuild the environment variable table. And it clearly states in the manual that clearenv doesn't erase the contents containing the environment definitions, just the pointer to it. So my fifth one was earlier versions of exalt used to use C++ routines to store the JSON strings as hash tables so I could write them out. And the main exalt library, lib exalt init.so is written in C. And so it would fork exec to call these helper programs to actually generate the tables. But a particular version of the MPR library doesn't allow for forking exec after MPI finalize. So I had to go in and rewrite the hash tables in C using there's a public domain uthash.h, and I had to merge it in with the JSON generation for the in the C library. Uthash.h is a public domain thing that supports hash tables and and other kinds of tools that I found very useful when I had to write these C routines or these C++ notions in C. Users continue to surprise me. And one of the things that was surprising is somebody, at least one group, is using deep learning programs, use short MPI programs to train their neural networks. So it became clear that I not only do I have to sample scalar programs, non-MPI programs, I have to sample MPI programs as well. And if I'm sampling, I do not want to generate a start record. I just don't want to have data that I have to throw away. However, some MPI programs are long running and do not terminate. They are typically simulation programs, say a weather code, which is running forever, and they just write out restart files every so often. And when the job terminates, because they've they've used up their 24 or 48 hours of runtime, they just pick up where the last restart file was written and continue from there. So I will never get an end record from those kind of programs. And those are the programs I'm interested in capturing data on. So I have to generate start records from there. So arbitrarily, I have decided that if you have 128 tasks or more, I generate a start record. And if you have less than 128 tasks, there's no start record. And again, these are site configurable. So, containers. I am not, like Kenneth, I am not a fan of containers. However, they are here and I need to support them. So Exalt, when it configures, can require certain libraries like libuuid.so on the host, but I can't do that on containers. Exalt still requires libuuid.so, but does not link to it. And by the way, the notion of doing this statically doesn't work reliably because there is no libuuid.a available. And also, Exalt used to require libz and a few other libraries. This was so that Exalt could reduce the size of the syslog message. What I used to do is, so Exalt is generating JSON records. There has to be some way to record that data from the user code. I can either write to a file or I can write to syslog, among other choices. So what I used to do was call compress and then base64 to encode the message, and then I would base64 decode it and decompress when I was inserting the data. But I have a problem with that. So what Exalt does is it copies the system library libuuid.so to the Exalt install directory. Then it does a DL open on the direct path. It turns out that you cannot modify the environment variable LD library path and have DL open search the new one. It only searched the one at the start of the program. So, but you can specify the absolute path to something you want to DL open. So that does work. So what I do is I know where the Exalt path is, and I just try and link to it. And then DLSim necessarily has the necessary, or I use DLSim to connect to the necessary routines to build the UUID that I need. However, this doesn't work for libz. I can certainly copy libz to the shared library, to the install directory, but the compress routine is actually a macro, and it has the version of compress in the actual arguments. And for all I know, they could change the definition of that without me knowing it. So I can no longer depend on having a compression library, and I don't want to write my own. So instead, what I did is I just no longer compress on base64 encode when writing the syslog. I just send the straight text. And that works fine. So in conclusion, this is my experiences dealing with user codes throughout the people have used Exalt. I want to reiterate that this happens rarely. I've got 7 or 8 times where I've run into problems, and this is over millions and millions and millions of choices, or millions of executions that Exalt has collected. So it's a small area, but it does happen. So if you want to find out more about Exalt, you can go to the Exalt documentation and read the docs. And if you want to download the source, it's available from GitHub. And if you want to join the mailing list, you can join it through SourceForge. Thank you very much. I'll now entertain questions.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I just was looking at our quoted question, and you answered the Elasticsearch, but what about Jaeger and Zipkin?
This is the first time I've ever heard of either of them, so I have no direct support for them. But again, you know, Exalt has two parts. Exalt is generating JSON records, and then they can be transported to whatever wants to receive them.
Okay, that makes sense. I had a question. You mentioned that on your 132 node, it recorded quite a bit of data. Are there any guidelines for people with larger systems with 10,000 nodes or more? How to change the short, medium, or long run?
So Exalt, we run Exalt on our large systems. We have 8,000 nodes. And so the sampling rules, which I described, support our system. I just wanted to point out that 132 nodes, if you record every task, is going to overwhelm the database.